Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead. Today we are fortunate to have with us Reverend F. Lydell Brown, who serves as the Chief Operating Officer of the Conference of Churches at the 224 Ecospace, its social enterprise. Our mission is to provide the space and support to gather and inspire individuals who create positive impact, build social profit, and foster a thriving community. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. I know that you have been on this journey with the Conference of Churches for a number of years. Talk about how you first started working for the Conference of Churches.
Okay, well, when I first came here, I was pastoring full-time and doing a little bit of community organizing. And you asked for me to come to the Conference of Churches because you had some organizers in place and you weren't quite sure if they were the correct organizers for the work that you wanted to do. So I came in to actually do some fact-finding and some training, and come to find out that these were not the type of community organizers that you needed at that time at the Conference of Churches. So lo and behold, you asked me if I would be willing to come up 3 days a week, maybe for 3 or 4 hours a day, to simply get the ball running and started. And so that turned in from 15 hours into 17 years later, where I've been full-time and I've actually moved up through the organization, which has really been a blessing.
And it has been a blessing to have you in the midst. So for people that are listening, talk about what is community organizing. I know that many people learned about it through the legacy of Barack Obama. Talk about your experience with community organizing and define it.
Sure. In my experience with community organizing, what it means is to get people like-minded on an issue or issues and have them thinking that there's more power with people together rather than fighting for something yourself. One of the things I learned in community organizing is that there's two types of power. And one power is organized money, and the other type of power is organized people. And so don't have a whole lot of money, but we have a lot of people who have a lot of similar interests. And so one of the things we did was take those interests and take those persons, put them together, let them know what the issues are, start to do some studying around that, get everybody excited and motivated about being able to make some change, and then being able to have a solidified voice as far as talking to lawmakers and officials.
So talk about some of the community organizing projects you've led through the Conference of Churches.
Sure. We had the Fatherhood Initiative, which is really dear to me. The Fatherhood Initiative was an initiative that we were going to work with 20 churches, and those 20 churches were going to have facilitators who were going to work with fathers who had been separated from their children and give them tools and things to do to actually get back connected with their children. And so that was one organizing model. Another organizing model we had was when it was called the Happy Program, where we would get 20 families to actually be ready to adopt foster care children because, it's still this way today, a lot of the children of color who are in the foster care program, they don't get adopted by parents. And so we wanted parents to see that there are beautiful children there and that those children needed foster homes and foster parents. We also were involved with the universal health care, where we worked with this group from Meriden, and it was a really a great time. We got, I would say, maybe 5,000 to 10,000 people of faith to actually get involved with the universal health care movement here in Connecticut. We actually won some great awards, but what happened is that the Obama care came through, and so all of the work that we did, it wasn't for nothing, because it got people alerted and educated when it comes to the right to have health care, and that is not a privilege. And so that is some of the things that we've done here at the Conference of Churches, and there's been numerous others. We've had the City Harvest, where we organized around getting bodegas and connected with churches so that we could have fresh produce, because Hartford, as you know, it at one time was looked at as a food desert. We just didn't have fresh produce, fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. And so we've done a lot of work around that. So the list just goes on and on. In 17 years, there are a lot of things you can get involved with, and there's always work to do.
And so in your experience with community organizing and working with pastors, how have you come to understand the role of pastors and the challenges that they face?
Sure. Well, one of the things that I've always said is that if you want to find people, go to faith houses. And on Sunday morning, you have an organized venue where there are people there for one thing, and that is to hear the word, give God some praise, worship him, fellowship, and there's also a message. And so we were able to talk to pastors to actually start to speak around some community issues. And so what happened is that with them doing that, pastors were able to engage members of communities and them not even knowing that they were being engaged. There is the gospel, which is the good news, but we also have to be educated about the issues and things that are going on in the community. And so put it this way. So say you have 15 faith houses. You have 15 pastors who are talking about universal health care. That means now that you have thousands of people who are now being educated about the right to have health care, not just the privilege. And so speaking with pastors is really, really important. So once you can get to a pastor and the pastor starts to be educated about what's going on in the community, then that pastor educates the members of the church what's going on in the community. Now you have a community that's educated.
And talk about the impact of faith communities in a neighborhood.
Well, I would say this, that a lot of times we can be so insular about what's going on in churches that if we're not careful, the community could be going to pot and we not really know about it. So what it does, it allows churches to be that faith house where they like they used to be. It used to be a time whereas the pastors knew the members in the neighborhood, people in the neighborhood knew the pastors. Here in Connecticut now, we have a lot of people who commute. And so you can have someone who's coming from upstate Connecticut down to downstate Connecticut and really not have any knowledge about what's going on in that neighborhood. So if you want pastors to be able to affect, and you want churches to be able to affect a community, that church and that community have to be able to get to know one another, know what the plights are, be able to have church outside. I've always said this, that Jesus never had a faith house. The community was his church. The world was his church. And that's what we try to do when we speak to pastors, to be able to have an effect on the community.
We're talking to Reverend F. Lydell Brown, who is the Chief Operating Officer of the Conference of Churches, and we'll be back after the break.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me, yeah.
Everyone else around
me
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When fuck walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah.
When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell
tell y'all one more thing. I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl.
Said that he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
I'm his.
Said it doesn't matter what
doesn't
I did.
Matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me
tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing, when aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything, when daddy didn't come home anymore, he didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you, and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, 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 what did he see? Can I sing the verse one time? Listen to this, y'all. I love this. I love this. See, he's mine, and I'm his. It doesn't matter what I did, but he only sees me for who I am. Ooh, Lord. Yeah. He's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me who I am. Sing it one time. We're going to go past this. He is mine. Oh, oh, oh.
He's mine and I'm his.
Ooh.
It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for who I am.
And the reason why he sees me for who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
He's mine.
I am his.
I'm his.
It doesn't matter what I need.
It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me.
He only sees me for who I am.
He saw the best.
He saw the best.
Take me to 7,000 high school students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. So here's a 26-second message of encouragement.
Hi, I'm Stacy. Look, you know, I've been there. It's tough. And I just want to say, if you find yourself feeling negative, Use it as motivation. Let it be like the fuel in the fire to keep you going. Because the best is yet to come. Seriously, you're capable of great things. Things you probably haven't even dreamed of yet. So don't quit now. See you at graduation.
Do you have 26 seconds to convince a student to stay at their desk? Now you can share your message of support at boostup.org. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're talking to Reverend F. Lydell Brown, who serves as the Chief Operating Officer at the Conference of Churches. And in our first segment, he was talking about his journey of 17 years at the Conference of Churches. Talk about the experience you had where there was a tour in New York, Allen Cathedral, to see what was going on there and the impact that Floyd Flake had.
Oh, those are really fond, fond memories. We were blessed to take, I would say, 25 to 30 pastors along with some funders down to Jamaica, Queens, New York to actually see the work that at that time Congressman Floyd Flake had made with Greater Allen Cathedral. And we brought pastors down there to see that that the same thing that happened there could happen here in the city of Hartford. So when we got there, they were able to see this huge church, and the church was so beautiful. But more than that, this church has taken a community and completely renovated it, completely changed it. They had a elementary school, they had a middle school, they had housing that they had secured and that they were actually building new housing for new residents. They had a bus company. And I mean, so I don't know if anyone has ever seen the movie New Jack Street, right? But that movie showed a community that was ravaged by the crack cocaine. And this is one of those communities. But this community right here was completely changed because the church took this community by the horns, actually got with residents there and completely reinvented this whole community. I mean, it was definitely something that was a blessing. But the one thing that happened is that it was so much, it was almost overwhelming to see what they've done. One of the things I've always said in my ministry is that you never want to see how far you have to go, but you want to see how far you've come, because how do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. So that's one of the things that we wanted pastors to know, that we're not going to be able to do this overnight, but it's something that's going to take time and really take some deliberate and conscientious efforts.
And so that served as the seeds planted for the Conference of Churches to venture down the path of creating what is now the 224 Ecospace. So in a nutshell, you can't say everything. Talk about that journey to acquire the 224 Ecospace.
Well, I forget his name. His name eludes me, but he was one of your mentors who told you that if you want to change a neighborhood, buy it. And so we were blessed to be able to, we were getting ready to buy the Colin Bennett building, but that kind of fell through because at the 11th hour, we found out that it was full of asbestos and some other things going on. So we pulled the plug on that, but we didn't quit. And so we found this building on Farmington Avenue, and it was the old art space. And so we came in, we looked at the building, and we were going to be renters at that time. And when we walked in, something happened. We could tell that this is where we were supposed to be. We didn't know what the future held or what was going to hold for us, but we knew that this is where we were supposed to be. And so we started renting a little part of the building. And you know, you full of faith and myself full of faith, we said, wouldn't it be nice if we could buy the building, because it was on the market for $1.5 million. I think you offered something like $350,000.
Yes.
Okay. And at that time, Aetna was owning it and they didn't answer us. So one thing led to another. We used some of our community organizing skills to see about the building, to get some buy-in from 50 other business owners from around the community. And what we did, we put some gentle pressure on Aetna. We were able to get on the bonding agenda, and not only got on the bonding agenda, but we actually got some money that was promised to us, and then we got the money released. We felt like we were signing our lives away when we were doing the grant process. But lo and behold, we were able to buy the building for $365,000. And so with bonding dollars, and then with that, we also used our organizing skills to actually renovate the building. In another life, you probably would have had a major campaign program going on, but we actually came into this building, rolled up our sleeves with friends and with volunteers, and we were able to paint it and renovate it, and now we have the 224. So I said a lot in a mouthful, but that's where we are today.
And you said something powerful, that the building was renovated using community organizing skills. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things you always say is that you only need money to buy things from strangers. At that time, I was on Community Partners in Action, which is the organization that oversees halfway houses and people doing community service. And so we were blessed to have 10 to 15 persons actually here in the building 4 to 5 days a week, helping us completely renovate the building as far as painting. And being that in my other life, I used to have a business called Brown's Home Improvement, I was able to come here, show people how to paint, and we painted this 30,000 square foot building. I would say that today we're probably 90% completely renovated as far as paint and rugs and floors and lighting. There's been so much done here.
And so if somebody wanted to know about the replacement value of the building, what would you say it is at this point in time?
Well, our insurance says that is $2.5 million.
And so it just goes to show that the investment of everyday people can truly make a difference in a neighborhood.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Reverend F. Lydell Brown, the Chief Operating Officer of the Conference of Churches, and we'll be back after the break. You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
Hello, everyone. This is Anna Ortiz, and I'm here with Fernanda.
Hello.
Fernanda's story is one everybody should hear. That's why I'm helping to lend my voice. Now, what happened, Fernanda?
Well, I'm the wife of a teacher. Recent budget cuts meant there wasn't enough to provide for our 3 young children, with another on the way. I picked up part-time work, and we did everything we could, but we really struggled to make ends meet. We realized we had to swallow our pride and ask for help. The food bank kept us afloat during some hard times. I'm just glad we had somewhere to turn to.
Today, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. Fernanda here could be your neighbor, your coworker, or your friend. She's just like you, and you probably don't even know she's struggling. But you can make a difference in Fernanda's life today. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to help.
I'm Fernanda.
And I'm Ana Ortiz. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I wanna run to you. Ooh. control, but at night I come home and turn the key. No one's there, seems only you care for me. So what's the sense of trying hard to find my dreams without you, Lord, to share it with? Tell me, what does it mean? From home.
I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful.
I am grateful for
the things that you have done.
Have done.
Look at them and tell them, yes,
yes,
I'm grateful.
I'm grateful for
the victories that we've won.
We won.
To tell them I could go on and on.
I could go on and on and on.
About your works.
About your works.
Because I'm grateful.
Because I'm grateful, grateful, so grateful. Just
to praise you, Lord.
To praise you, Lord.
Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Flowing from.
Square feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet. Of endless possibilities.
Welcome back. We're talking with Reverend F. Lydell Brown, who serves as the Chief Operating Officer of the Conference of Churches at the 224 EcoSpace on 224 Farmington Avenue in Hartford, Connecticut. So, Reverend Brown, if someone were to come in and they wanted a tour of the 224, take them on a virtual audible tour.
Sure, sure. So, the first thing that I would do is that I would start them in the front foyer, and in front foyer we that is the east entrance, and so I would take them into the collaboration center. Collaboration center is where we rent out for off-site retreats, off-site conferences. We have businesses in there such as Aetna, Travelers, the Hartford. There has been DCF has come there. We've actually had the Department of Transportation. So we rent that out at a nominal rate, and so that's one of our nice money makers. Then I would take them around and show them the art space that's also in the Collaboration Center. At this time, we have the Pivotal Project there, and so it's a lovely, lovely art space. If you ever here at the 224, we definitely want to take someone in there. We then come back out and show them the lovely reception center at the east entrance. I would then take them into the innovation room. The innovation room is a smaller room that fits anywhere from 40 to 60 people. Right, we have small offsite retreats right now. There is a small church that uses that on Sundays and on Wednesday evenings. Then next door, there is the Living Well Studio. In the Living Well Studio, we have a Christian ballet company that is actually using that 6 days a week. And so that is definitely a blessing. Going down the hallway, we then have the Cooperative Dance Studio, which is a dance studio that has the Molly floors. And so we have Island Reflection. We have Stop Time Dance, which is a tap dance company. Moving down the hallway, we are really proud to have our yoga studio. In the yoga studio, we're one of four studios in Connecticut that actually have aerial yoga. There's also Your Soul Yoga in the yoga studio. Going down a little bit, there's the annex, where it's a small little nook where 4 to 6 people can sit down for a small quiet meeting. Next door to that is our leadership library, where we have numerous books in there on self-help and business and transformational leadership. It's a small conference room, so we have some organizations that use that. Then we have the big baby, which is our business growth center. In there we have 40 seats where people can sit around the room, bring their laptops in, their iPhones, strategize and work for entrepreneurs, those who might want to make their dreams come true at night or during the day. So we're really, really proud of that. Going down the hallway some, we have our business growth suite. In the business growth suite, we actually have some offices that are actually being rented out by Park Playhouse. We have an accounting company that also rents out one of the rooms. And we have this new organization called Fresh Start, where they work with women just coming out of prison. So then we come out of there, we take a right. We have two studios, the Movement and Flow. Those are smaller studios for smaller groups who might want to do things there. Right now we have a Zumba group that works in there, and also Stop Time Dance. They're also in there. We have Just, who has hip hop dancing on Saturdays. We come around the corner, we have our cafe, which persons go in there during the day to actually eat their lunch, or sometimes we rent that out to other organizations. We're also giving back right now. So on Saturdays, we have a NA group that meets in there. On Saturday mornings coming up, we have small coaching offices. I'm not gonna go through the name because I might miss one of them, but we have three small coaching offices on that side. Going up a little bit, we have another coaching office, which sometimes is being used for marital retreats. Right next to there, we have our massage room. And in the massage room, we have a person not on staff, but in residency, that if you want to get a massage, all you have to do is take his card, give him a call, and he'll meet you here. Coming down the room some, we also have another coaching room that sits three. So that's our health coaching room. And what would the Conference of Churches be without a chapel? So we have a lovely chapel that all faiths can come in. I mean, as you walk in the room, you just feel the peace. Going down a little bit, we have our Living Well reception, where people from the Now Street side can actually come in for some of the health and wellness programs that are happening. If you go a little further, we have our Craftsman Suite. In the Craftsman Suite is a classroom where we actually hold classes. Then when you come down, if you keep walking and you take a left, you can come in here where we are, which is the radio room. And next to the radio room, we have rented out a office, which is given to Riverfront Community Church. You come back out, we have a small kitchen nook. Then we have our global community room. Then there is your beautiful office. There's our business office, my office, and then the reception for the Conference of Churches.
So that is a tour of 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities, the 224 EcoSpace.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things that you have an opportunity to do with quite a bit of regularity is meet with new entrepreneurs who are just starting their businesses. And talk about that. If somebody is thinking about gee, you know, I've always wanted to get my, like we like to say, a side hustle, my part-time business going. What's it like for a person to start that kind of enterprise here?
Well, you get all kinds. You get those who actually come in and it's a notion. They haven't really put a whole lot of thought around it, but it's something that they want to do. And because we've been doing this for a while, every once in a while we would take the time out and actually let them see, you know, that if you're going to do something to make money, you got to make sure that it's something that people want, all right? And we tell them the do's and don'ts, the proven practices of entrepreneurship. One of the things I say in entrepreneurship is that entrepreneurship is nothing more than taking a problem, finding a solution that's lucrative for you and for your customers. And so then we get those who actually come in ready, those who come in ready who have a social media platform so that way they can get the word out. They have a following. They know the product that they want to present. And so now all we need to do is just find the right time slot, find the right room for them. All right. And we kind of walk with them that way. And then we have those who come in. I mean, they've actually been someplace else and they've just heard about us, being that this is on Farmington Avenue. It's on the main thoroughfare. And so it's on the bus line. So it's a lot easier for people to get here to get your product. And so there are just so many different layers of entrepreneurship here at the Conference of Churches.
And so if somebody's listening and they're curious about the 224 Ecospace and they're wondering, how is it a ministry? What would you say?
Well, I've always thought that ministry is nothing more than providing a positive service. If we provide a service that's going to help you get from point A to point B, to me, that is ministry. It doesn't have to be sitting in a church. It doesn't have to be me praying for you. It doesn't have to be me quoting scripture to you. You know, as they say, you know, you show a man how to fish, then they will be able to feed themselves. You keep giving a man a piece of fish, they will always keep coming back. And so that's what ministry is to me. And so that's what we do here at the Conference of Churches. We give people the opportunity to better themselves, to bring themselves from point A to point B, to be able to help somebody else. Because you know that saying, playing it forward? So if I help you, I want you to help somebody else, and it just goes on and goes on. And in other words, there's a new word that I heard, is that we want to sneeze on people. And so we want to be able to take what we've learned, go to other people, sneeze on them, infect them with the entrepreneurship and the tactics that we use here at the 224, and just continually give that to person to persons.
And how is a 224 Ecospace a ministry to the neighborhood?
Well, let's put it this way. There was a time where you would think that yoga was something only for the burbs. And it's not yoga. I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I've watched the Reverend Dr. Shelley Best lose 90 pounds, completely just change and reinvent herself through yoga, and so those things are ministries. I mean, if a person is having problems with weight and I tell them I have something that's going to help you, that's ministry, because I'm actually helping you get from point A to point B.
And what difference has the 224 made in the general Asylum Hill neighborhood?
Oh, big difference. The ANA, which is the Asylum Hill Neighborhood Association, they actually meet here every first Monday of the month. And so we have the community service police. They come here, they give a report on what's going on in the community. So what is done is made the community more small, you know, because sometimes the community can be really large and no one knows anyone. And so right now, when people talk about the Asylum Hill neighborhood, they talk about the Conference of Churches, the 224 Ecospace, the big purple building located at 224 Farmington Avenue. They talk about that. And so I always ask people this question: what does Disney World always try to do? When people come there, they want to create memories. They want to create an experience. And that's what we do here at the 224. We want people to talk about this place. And, you know, when they go out and they say, hey, you're looking for a space to hold your event, go to the 224. It's a lovely place. It's a lovely experience. And it's very reasonable.
So, Reverend Brown, we thank you so much for your service and the difference that you're making in the Asylum Hill neighborhood. If somebody wants to have more information on the 224, how do they find out more?
Well, they can go on our website, the224.org, or they can go on the conferenceofchurches.org, or they can go on Facebook, they can go on Instagram. We're even on Twitter, or they can simply call us at 860-247-0017, extension 18 or extension 12.
Thank you, Reverend Brown, and have a blessed day.
Thank you.
He'll take the pain. Some of your sin can die.
You take the pain away.
After all the wrong you've done, but oh.
You take the pain away.
I dare you get down on your knees.
You take the pain away.
And begin to pray to the Father.
Ooh.
And say, Lord. Hear you plead. Hear me in your broken heart.
You take the pain away.
Just have faith and believe.
You take the pain
oh, have
away.
Faith, have faith.
You take the pain away.
All you got to do is believe. Come on and believe.
You take
oh,
the pain
oh,
away.
You, it's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.